him.
Well, another year has passed, and for those of you who have been here before, welcome back. This is our 9th annual Irish Concert here at Augusta, and a special welcome to those of you who are here for the first time. We have the usual combination of multi-talented people and various instruments and singers and dancers, and God only knows what, even a storyteller this year to boot. And we're going to start off with one of the oldest, if not the oldest, instrument in our musical tradition, with the Celtic harp. And it was very much an integral part of our culture in Ireland under the old Celtic order, and suffered very badly when we fell under British rule and the system of patronage that sustained the harp system went along with the Celtic chieftains. Most of the music that is now played on the harp is carried down from the 16th and 17th centuries, the time when the last of the harpers were roving around Ireland, great musicians and great composers too. And sadly, not too many years after that, at the end of the 18th century, the harp tradition died out completely as the last bearers of the old tradition got together in Belfast for one last fling at the Belfast Harp Festival, and then that was the end of it. For about 150 years, the harp was stilled in Irish life. Well, now it's back very much as an integral part of the culture. It's my great pleasure to introduce here yet again, making her third appearance here at Elkins, wonderful harper from the Allentown, Bethlehem area of Pennsylvania. Please make welcome Carl Thompson.
Thank you. It's nice to be back again, even though I almost didn't make it. A lot of you probably heard my car broke down about 10 times on the way. It's a bit of a hairy trip. But we played some music on the way down during the breakdown, so it was kind of fun. I've risked a terrible thing tonight. I've brought this harp with me. It was played briefly in Ireland, I think. Although it was played much more by the Welsh. It's a triple harp. It has three rows of strings. And so what's unfortunate is that I realized just tonight I was told that the wonderful Elkin stage here has been redone. So it has even a worse shine than ever, and it's brighter than ever. And so when I lean the harp back, I see this veritable forest of about 90 strings. And I'm not, if I kind of weave around a little bit, it's not because I've been tipping back there, it's because I'm trying to see what I'm doing. Anyway, it does really have three rows of strings, so two outer rows are tuned the same, and the middle row has the sharps and flats, and so it eliminated the need to reach up and shift levers when you play like you do on the Celtic harp. So it does this. And I put my finger in that middle row and I get a sharp. It's just that I unfortunately have to be able to see it to do that. Or at least know what it is. You know, and it makes me think that I know now that it would be much better to be a blind harper at this very moment. It's true that many of the harpers, especially at the end of the 18th century, the last 10 who gathered at Belfast, I think all but two or three were blind. And I've been considering that's definite advantage as I sat here getting my sound check and figuring out how I was going to play this. So I'm going to play for you two tunes in a row, and then I'm going to leave. So I'm not going to risk any more than that, because I'll be playing again tomorrow night anyway. So I'm going to play a tune called Today Dawn and another tune called She Moved Through the Fair, and I'll play them one after the other. Sure, I will. Thank you.
Carol Thompson on the harp. Well, when one thinks of distinctively Irish instruments, the next instrument that comes to mind really is the Illan pipes, the elbow pipes inflated by a bellows, not blown like the, well, what are called the Highland pipes. Oh, those were originally an Irish invention too. It's said that we gave them to the Scots 300 years ago as a joke, and they haven't figured it out yet. Funnily enough, you know, Irish pipes like the harp, there was a time when people thought that that tradition was going to die out as well. The pipes are very difficult to make and to maintain. And strangely enough, some of the best pipes ever made were made in America. And the most famous pipe makers of all time were the Taylor brothers, who lived in Philadelphia in the latter decades of the 19th century. And many of their wonderful creations can be seen in the world of Irish piping today. And there was a danger that piping, however, in Philadelphia was going to go the way of the harp in Ireland. And when I arrived there in 1973, there were no young pipers in sight. And suddenly, out of the woodwork came this 11-year-old kid. And in no time at all, he was playing the pipes up a storm. And it seemed in no time at all after that, had developed into one of the most inventive and finest pipers in the world of Irish piping, whether we're talking about Ireland or America. And it's my great pleasure to introduce him tonight, along with Carol Honners, who is originally from California, sings and plays the guitar, and lives in Iowa, along with the master piper himself, Timmy Britton.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That first tune is a slow air called Port Napucco, which basically means the tune of the fairies, and it's from a very small island called the Great Blasket off of the coast of Kerry. And it was more or less the last outpost of the undiluted Gaelic culture in Ireland up until the earlier part of this century. There was a few hundred people living there speaking almost nothing but Gaelic, and a lot of the storytelling tradition particularly was very strong there. Many, many books on the place, a lot of translated from Irish, and it's worth looking into. Followed it up with a reel, or rather a jig called the One Horned Cow, followed by a reel called the Road to Listunvarna, right.
Then the three Merry Sisters, and then the Queen of the May, and then the Woman of the House, that was the feminist set for tonight.
We're going to continue and finish off with a song of carols.
This song I learned in County Kerry from Tommy, do you remember his last name?
Tommy O'Sullivan.
Tommy O'Sullivan. It happened one evening at the playing of ball, when first I met Willie, both proper and tall. He was strong, fair and handsome, complete in each limb. There's a heart in my bosom lies breaking for him. Oh, will you come with me beside the road and view my father's dwelling and place of abode? He could tell by the look in her languishing eye that he was the young man she valued most high. There's a place in my father's garden, lovely Willie, said she, where lords, dukes, and earls, they all wait upon me. And when they've all gone off to their deep, silent rest, I'll go with you, lovely Willie, you're the boy I love. Her father being listening, in ambush he lay, to hear these fond words that these lovers did say. And with a sharp rapier he pierced her love through, and the innocent blood of her darling he. Oh, father, cruel father, you can say what you will, but the innocent blood of my love you did spill. And I'm going off to some far country, where I may know no one and no one know me. It happened one evening at the playing of ball, when the first I met Willie, both proper and tall. He was strong, fair and handsome, complete in each limb. There's a heart in my bosom lies breaking for him.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of the evening.
Timmy Britton there, and Carol Hunters. We're sorry that the sets have to be kind of short tonight. We'd be here until 2 o'clock in the morning if we really got warmed up and cranked up. And I guess a lot of you here know about the sessions that take place informally after concerts and indeed after all the activities that take place in the evening's time. We tend to congregate on a place of degradation and sleep deprivation and shenanigans called the Ice House. And it was great fun there last night. The trouble is it can do an awful lot of damage to your health if you go too many nights in succession and stay up all there listening to the music. But we'll be all hanging out there afterwards. There's the usual memorabilia for sale, records and tapes and a gathering number of CDs now that the record companies are getting rid of the records. There's even a video or two there, and we're impeccably tailored and the hair is combed and the noses are powdered. It's a great sight to see all together. I'd like to introduce a whole bunch of musicians here. We're all going to sit in and we're going to play a few tunes. There's none of them out here yet, but you'll recognize them, I suppose. There's Eileen Ivers, a wonderful fiddle player from the Bronx. And Eileen has a great distinction of... going home 9 years in a row and winning the Ireland fiddle competition back in Ireland, which displeased an awful lot of young fiddlers back in Ireland, I can tell you. Another great musician from the Bronx will be joining us, quite the character. Comes from a musical family. Her father's a great accordion player from the County Galway, Joni Madden from the Bronx. Where are you? All-Ireland champion. Man is making his very first appearance here at Elkins, and I saw him play first with a wonderful group called Touchstone, who were a group that were kind of before their time in a way, combined a lot of different musical influences and made a few records on the Green Linnet label. And the percussive powerhouse in that band, bouzouki an extraordinary, and a guitar player extraordinaire, making his first appearance here in Elkins, Zan McLeod. And last and certainly not least, my buddy of long standing, plays a lot with myself and Robbie O'Connell. And he was born in London, as we say, through no fault of his own. He was not consulted on the matter at all. And he comes from a great family. His late father was a great Seán Nós, an old style singer in the Gaelic language, carrying on a Connemara tradition from Galway. And Jimmy carries on a great musical tradition, playing an instrument that's not normally heard in Irish music, the piano accordion, Mr. Jimmy Keane.
One, two.
Thank you. was wondering, is there a corner in the house for the dancers? No.
Regan Wick and Lanann Wick from Denver, and Danny Gold and Gene Butler from New York, Long Island, respectively. One person is not with us this year. Hopefully he'll be back next year. It's Robbie O'Connell, our good friend. And Robbie's off singing with his very famous uncles, the Clancy Brothers, at this even as we speak. Robbie's written a song I'd like to sing about an Irish political prisoner who's been in jail in New York now for over 7 years, despite having done nothing. He's caught up in a cruel foreign policy game between the American government and the British government, unfortunately. And his life is ebbing away. He's done absolutely nothing. His name is Joseph Patrick Doherty. And 7 times the courts have set him free, and 7 times he's been rearrested by the Justice Department. It's now become a human rights issue. It's gone way beyond being an Irish issue. The song is called The Winning Side. Another hour has passed away, another slowly turning moment of another endless day, and nothing's changed at all. He still walks from wall to wall, and every year that passes by is one less year for living. When he finally steps outside, a heavy price to pay, to waste your life away. Ah, but justice is a fickle thing. One law for the common man, another for the king. And don't you know when kings can't win the game, it won't be long till all the rules are changed, and it's all justified when you're on the winning side. But 7 years is too much time to be held without a charge, to be condemned without a crime. A cruel irony in the land of liberty. And when it comes to human rights, why is it always in some foreign land we choose to stand and fight? When will we realize what's right before our eyes? Ah, but justice is a fickle thing. One law for the common man, another for the king. And don't you know when kings can't win the game, it won't be long till all the rules are changed, and it's all justified when you're on the winning side. A man who sits in jail today could well become tomorrow's leader. That's how history often plays. The price, it's understood, is sometimes paid in blood. And when the battle lines are drawn, who can foretell who'll be the one to play the king or play the pawn, or who will bear the blame in such a deadly game? Ah, but justice is a fickle thing. One law for the common man, another for the king. And don't you know when kings can't win the game, won't be long till all the rules are changed, and it's all justified when you're on the winning side. Yes, it's all justified when you're on the winning that version of the 3C Captains dance too often. When midnight comes, good people homeward tread, seek now your blankets and your feather bed. Home is the rover, his journey's over. Yield up that night time to old John of dreams. Yield up the night time to old John of dreams. Across the hills the sun has gone astray. Tomorrow's cares are many dreams away. Home is the rover, his journey's over. Yield up in the darkness to old John of dreams. Yield up in the darkness to old John of dreams. Man and master in the night are one. All things are equal when the day is done. The prince and the plowman, the slave and the free man, all find their comfort in old John of dreams. All find their comfort in old John of dreams. Now as you sleep, come winging